Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And let me just say, a happy, premature League New Year to everybody who observes. The League New Year officially starts at 3 p.m. Central Time today, so that is when these new contracts are officially allowed to become official, so we're 4 hours away, but Happy New Year, everybody.
I don't know what music is supposed to play.
That was nice. Yeah.
Better than my DIY breaking news sounder.
The breaking news sounder was great.
I don't know. D-May sounds great. He's got some pipes.
Nah, I ain't got no.
That's the official League New Year theme song.
Yeah, that's the official League New Year from here on out. That's the and y'all can add extra things to it, but that's just like the baseline. Then y'all can throw anything.
We'll be in the lab.
Yeah.
We'll send it to our little music department to dub that and everything.
We'd appreciate that. All right, we'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow in 1 hour. We'll get Hutton's reactions to the moves that the Titans have made, some rumors that are swirling around the Tennessee Titans. Catch up with Hutton in an hour. The Predators are in action tonight on the road, taking on the very, very good Winnipeg Jets, the red hot Winnipeg Jets. Puck drop at 6:30. We'll have all of your coverage starting right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, for all your pre-game conversation. Willie D will join us later on in the show from Winnipeg, but D Mace is here with his pipes, his lovely, lovely singing voice.
Absolutely.
How are we doing today, D Mace?
Hey, I'm doing well. Weather's great. Free agency is going. You know, it's a frenzy, and you're seeing guys move to places, and teams trade away guys. It's what you want to see during free agency. Teams have been overly active. Some teams haven't been active at all. Dallas Cowboys, and there are some teams that are in the middle. Tennessee Titans that have been active, and I believe will continue to be active as free agency continues to happen. And it's not just this wave of free agency. It's free agency all the way up until June 1st. Now, Titan fans don't want to wait that long, June 1st, but, you know, they can, you know, acquire players, up until that point, but even past that point. But June 1st, you're going to see a few more guys, like notable guys, get cut, I believe. And then you got to start the process all over again. How do you evaluate those guys? Do you want them to bring them in? Do you bring them in for a meeting? And then ultimately, do you try to sign those guys that are June 1st? But before that, you know, they've been average, as far as their involvement in free agency up until this point. Now, free agency doesn't officially start for another couple hours, so they still have an opportunity to make some moves, and because there are a lot of guys still out there, not top line guys, but there are still guys out there that can help your ball club win.
There are some big names.
Yeah.
Eric Armstead, Calvin Ridley, and you mentioned some visits. The Titans reportedly have two visits set up, and that is where I want to start today, is the most recent moves that the Titans have made since we got off the air yesterday. So we can recap from the beginning. Initially signing Tony Pollard to a 3-year deal worth up to $24 million. I find it a little bit telling that we still have yet to hear the guaranteed money and the true contract breakdown for Tony Pollard. Usually when it's not released pretty soon, it means that the agent doesn't want it to get out, which means that the numbers might not be overly favorable for Tony Pollard. But if they're not overly favorable for Tony Pollard, that means they are probably a team-friendly deal, more friendly for the Tennessee Titans. But at least the numbers that we do know, 3 years, $24 million, not sure what the actual numbers and guarantees are on that one. Of course, Lloyd Cushenberry, center from the Denver Broncos, 4 years, $50 million. Chidobe Awuzie, 3 years, just shy of $22 million. That's, of course, up to $22 million, not in guarantees. They signed Kenneth Murray yesterday, and yesterday evening, it was reported that the Titans agreed to terms 1 year, $2.5 million deal with offensive lineman Sadiq Charles from the Washington Commanders. So I covered Sadiq Charles in college, so now the Titans have two fifths of that LSU 2019 national championship team offensive line. But this was a move that I was frankly very shocked about, D-Mace. Because I truly don't know what Sadiq Charles gives you. I mean, he gives you depth. His PFF grade is 55. Not great. He hasn't played a full season in all of his 4 years in the NFL. He's been injury ridden. He dealt with a calf injury last season that left him out several games. He dealt with a knee injury in 2022. I think he was dealing with a concussion at one point, if not in 2022, then last season. And also, he's played on the left side his entire career. He was a left tackle in college. He's been a left guard for the Washington Commanders. I don't think that you're going to put him in at left tackle because he's been an NFL career guard, and you have a left guard. It's like you have some depth on the offensive line. Dylan Raidens, I think, should be a depth piece. Jalen Duncan, I think, should be a depth piece. Those aren't going to be your starters. I'm puzzled by this one, D-Mace.
Yeah, I see it as just, you know, and again, he's young, 24 years old, 25.
He is young.
I think he'd be maybe 25 this season as the season goes on. You know, so he's a young offensive lineman. You pair him, you know, because I think a lot of this, do they plan on him being a starter? Probably not. But what is it that the Titans don't have other than, you know, they don't have backup players. They don't have depth at positions of need. They don't have depth at the offensive line position. They addressed a little bit of the depth at the running back position. They need more depth at the wideout and a cornerback position. They need more depth.
They need starters.
Yeah, they need starters, but I'm saying they need depth as well.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to, from the offensive line standpoint, you get a guy like Sadiq Charles that's still young. You figure he works with Bill Callahan and he gets better. Do you project him as a starter? Probably not. But if he earns that starting position, that's a plus. But if he doesn't, he's a depth piece. And then now you can go Dylan Raidens at guard. You hope that bringing Bill Callahan again, that Dylan Raidens will get better. He showed a little promise. He's not a tackle. By no means is he a left tackle. He could probably work at right tackle, but more than likely his best position is the guard position. So you allow Bill Callahan to work with him. You allow him to work with Sadiq Charles. You allow him to work with Nicholas. And hopefully by him being there, because last year, to me, it was a wash with the offensive line as far as what they were. Were they progressing?
No.
Were they improving?
No.
It was a wash. So you bring in – matter of fact, it wasn't a wash. It was just downright bad. But I'm looking at it from the coaching standpoint. That was just a lost year for those offensive linemen because it seems like they didn't get the coaching that they need to get better. Now you bring Bill Callahan in and you're betting that he's going to get more out of them than the last coaching staff. Now, what that more is, we don't know.
Right.
But even if it's a little bit better, it's better than last year. You know?
You hope. And the one thing that gives me at least the teeniest, tiniest shred of optimism and the tiniest silver lining of this dark cloud is Bill Callahan. Mm-hmm. And it's not just his coaching, but it's also the evaluation as well. That I would hope whenever Rand Carthon is making these moves, he at least communicates with Bill Callahan. What do you see? What do you like? What can you work with? The evaluation, I think, is key. Because I think one thing that's really important to remember and to keep in mind is that Bill Callahan is an excellent coach, but he is not a miracle worker. He is a great coach, but he is not a magician. That he cannot just wave his offensive line wand and all of a sudden turn Andre Dillard into an elite left tackle. You can only coach up a player so much. He still needs talent to work with. I mean, Jalen Duncan, if he turns into your starting right tackle of the future, then great, wonderful. But I can't rely on Jalen Duncan on turning into your right tackle of the future.
No.
Can he be a depth piece and a backup swing tackle? Sure. And if that's where he's best fit, then that's where he needs to be. But keep that in mind whenever the Titans go throughout free agency and the draft. You cannot make lemonade out of lemons with every single player. Can you make a player better with good coaching? Sure. But how much better can you make players that aren't starters in the NFL? Can you really turn them into starters in the NFL?
Well, I think you can. I think you can.
But how much can you rely on that? Like Andre Dillard, I have zero hope of.
Andre Dillard, he's shown that he's not a starter. He's shown that he's not a starter. We've seen it up close.
Yeah.
That he's not capable. If you have him at your left tackle position or right tackle position as a starter, then boy, oh boy, hold your breath because don't hold your breath because it's not going to be good. On that side, whichever side he plays on. But you can get a guy that hasn't been a starter, and he can turn into a starter in the National Football League. It's all about, is the talent there? Do you put these guys in position to succeed? How is the blocking scheme going to be for the Tennessee Titans this year compared to last year? You figure it's going to be a lot different. You figure these guys are going to be coached up well because Bill Callahan is one of the best, if not the best, offensive line coach in football today. So you figure these guys, if they listen, if they got talent, they're going to get better. Now, how much better? We don't know. But they're trying to add depth to this offensive line, and they're trying to add quality depth. Now, whether Sadiq Charles is quality depth or not, we will find out very, very, very soon here once camp and everything else starts to get going. But what we do know is he didn't grade out well with the Washington Commanders. But I would beg to say how many people graded out well with the Washington Commanders. You know, it's neither here nor there. But this is another opportunity for him, being coached by one of the best, to become the player that he envisions himself to be, a much better player. He's a guard.
He's a guard.
So they need the depth because you know, Bronsco, he is a free agent, I believe, or does he have one more year?
He may have one more year.
If they sign him one, but he's coming off of an injury. So you got to deal with that. So you want to have that depth piece. You plan on having Bronsco back to be the starter. If he's not, or if it takes him a little bit of time, then you have a backup in Sadiq Charles.
And you need depth. You need backups. And if Sadiq Charles turns into, you know, a legitimate starting guard in the league, then great. It's just incredibly underwhelming to me when the Titans have as much cash to spend as they have, when the Titans have as many holes as they have, when Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon both touched on at the Combine how much they have to work with in terms of cash and how many holes they need to address. Mm-hmm. And when Brian Callahan told us that they plan to be fairly aggressive in free agency and they come out with a guard who's struggled to stay healthy. And I know that they signed Lloyd Cushenberry and I'm excited about that move. And they signed Jadobi Wuzier and I think that's a good move. But with all of the resources that you have, the cash that you have to spend and all of the needs that you have, to me, D-Mace, this is an incredibly underwhelming group so far. And I know that we still have a lot of time left in free agency. I know that there are going to be needs that are going to be addressed in the draft, that have to be addressed in the draft. I understand that it's early. But we all know that the best players come off the board within the first few days of free agency. I don't want to be left with players that are backups or have serious character concerns or injury concerns. This team just has far too many needs. And one of the biggest and most glaring need is just a need for good players. You have money to spend on good players. And the best you could come up with is Sadiq Charles?
Well, I mean, listen, it's the players got to want to come here now. Let's not get it twisted. The players got to want to come here. There's, you know, teams offered me contracts. I chose to go to another place. Players, even though you may offer them a contract, teams may choose to go to another direction. You know, they could have spoken with all of these guys that, or at least a handful of these guys that signed at other places. They could have had conversations with their agents, but they chose to go somewhere else. Rand can only do so much. Organizations can only do so much. You don't want to extremely overpay for an individual and then it not work out. What you want to do is assess the market, know your needs, and then base it upon that. They're not trying to build Rome in a day. They're not. They're trying to build this thing for the future. And Rand, they've said this. Like, we got money to spend, but we're not going to all spend it in one day. We got to take our time because the decisions we make will affect what we can do or what we can or cannot do in the future. So I see all these people around here signing contracts and everything else, but let's just wait. Let's just wait and see how it pans out for all of these people that are signing these guys to big deals. Because one thing I know about this league, having played in it, just because you sign a big contract doesn't mean you're going to be worth that contract. Let it play out. Listen, whether Rands, my thing is, I'm not going to say whether this is a good offseason or bad offseason. Let's determine that come August, September, October, November. If those guys are competing, I mean, if those guys are contributing and they're contributing in a positive way, then it was a good free agency.
Yeah.
If they haven't, then we got to go to the drawing board and we got to call Rand to the table. Like, listen, these guys that y'all brought in, they hadn't worked out. But we can't say that now because Houston's going to get all these players. Houston's in a different situation. They are trying to do it now because of what their quarterback has shown them. Their quarterback has shown them we can go. They got their receivers. They got them a running back. Their defense was good last year. Their defense is going to be good this year. They didn't do anything but swap guys out on defense. Everybody's screaming about, you know, them getting, what is it, Danielle Hunter? Yeah, Danielle Hunter. I don't want to say Danielle. Danielle Hunter. Everybody's screaming about them getting Danielle Hunter. Well, they lost a really good pass rusher, so they had to replace it. Mm-hmm. It's not like they kept their pass rusher from last year and then added him. That would have been something, because if that was the case, had they kept their pass rusher from last year, they wouldn't have been able to sign Hunter. They wouldn't have.
Which pass rusher?
One of their pass rushers went to Minnesota. And I forget which one. One of their good pass rushers, I believe, went to Minnesota. So they did nothing but swap, basically, pass rushers.
I can't keep track of some of these.
Yeah,
moves.
So many things happened. They did nothing but swap pass rushers. That's all they did. They may have gotten better. I don't know. But they were getting production out of that guy. He wanted to sign. They didn't want to sign him. So he went somewhere else. They didn't think he ended up going to Minnesota. Then they end up signing because Minnesota didn't want to pay the money to Hunter. Mm-hmm. So they end up signing Hunter. So they didn't do anything but swap pass rushers. Now, did they get better? I don't know. They got DeNico Autry. I think that's a plus. But let this thing play out before we start, you know, watching everybody else's pockets. That's one thing, you know, as a player, you never don't pocket watch somebody else. You do your job. Concentrate on your team and your needs and what you can go get. Don't concentrate on what, you know, oh, Houston just went out of gas. Well, we need to go pay this guy. You can't operate from a GM standpoint in that manner.
Well, you're not going to sign a player just to respond to what your division rival
may have
done.
And that's what I'm saying. You got
to. But I do think that it's fair for fans to look at it like, well.
Well, if you base it upon the fans, your ass is going to be fired. If you base it upon the fans, your ass is going to be fired within 2 or 3 weeks.
I understand that.
So you can't do that.
And you're also going to be fired if you don't address the needs that you need in free agency.
Absolutely.
And look, I understand that there is time. I get it. I know. I understand that free agency starts today. The new league year is today. I understand that you don't need to sign your entire roster all in one day, that you don't need to spend your money all in one day. But I just look at it and I think, you know, what are you waiting on? Mm-hmm. What are you waiting for? Because we talk about, okay, well, Houston's in a different position than the Titans are. I understand that. I mean, the Texans played in the divisional round of the playoffs last year. But how did Houston get there? The quarterback is a massive part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Having two top three picks in the NFL draft last year and getting your future quarterback and Will Anderson, that's a massive part of that. I understand that. But C.J. Stroud also walked into a pretty darn good situation on the offensive line. He had great pass catchers because the Texans, the couple of years before they got C.J. Stroud, they were fairly aggressive in free agency.
But
I understand
that
Rome
is
not
built
in a day. But to say that, well, we don't have to go after these guys because you're not contenders. Well, is it just the only teams that are competing for a Super Bowl this year? They are the only ones that can go out and sign good players?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not that. What I'm saying is this. You can't, you know, as you're building your team, you can't try to make moves because other teams are making moves. You got to look at, you got to assess your roster.
You have to make moves because you need players.
Absolutely, which means you got to assess your roster assess free agency, which direction are you going, and then base it according to that. They didn't jump out there and start signing. They could have went out there and signed guys to massive contracts and been stuck with those contracts if it didn't work out. But that's not the way they're going. They are going the route of they're building this team slowly. They're building it with the right kind of players, the right guy, you know, type of guys, the character guys. They're building this thing in a way where it's going to last. They don't want a 1 year and then you're gone. We've seen teams do it. Hell, and I know the Rams did it. And they got a Super Bowl, but what happened to them right after? Now they're trying to rebuild that team up slowly because they got exactly what they wanted.
They were a playoff team this past year.
Yeah, but they're still building that team up, and they're going to have to build it up. Once the quarterback leaves, they're going to have to retool that thing again. Why? Because they're not going to have their quarterback. Right now they're sitting pretty because they got Matthew Stafford right now. And Matthew Stafford is a damn good quarterback. But when Matthew Stafford retires or when he chooses to leave the game, they're going to have to retool again or either luck into finding a really good quarterback. Houston Texans, let's go to the Houston Texans. Everybody sees, and I understand how this league is, but everybody sees the Houston Texans as the worst team in the league last year and then the best team in the worst team in the league last year, best team in the AFC South. Mm-hmm. Well, it took them 3 years to build that. It took them 3 years. We don't notice it. Why? Because we ain't following them. It took them years to build up. They finally got their quarterback, and they got their rush in.
It took them years to build it up, but years of being fairly aggressive and spending a lot of money in free agency.
But was it working? Because a lot of those guys got cut.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but a lot of those guys got cut. They built it through the draft with Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. With Tank Dell,
yeah, and I
with
love
the edge rusher. They built it through the draft, and then they supplemented some of that through free agency. But it took them years to do that. It wasn't overnight.
And I'm not asking for it to be overnight.
But I think that's what everybody's asking for, this overnight thing.
If you wait around.
They're not waiting.
And let players come to you, you're not going to – then what's the point of having all of the cash to spend?
How do we know that, again – you can go out and get a player. Prime example, the Baltimore Ravens went out and got Terrell Owens. What did Terrell Owens do 5 minutes after supposedly signing that contract? He was like, nope, I don't want to be here anymore. And he went to Philadelphia. They tried
getting their guy.
I don't know
if there's a T.O. in the league there.
Yeah, you probably
these
can't
days.
Do that. But teams go out and they talk to these agents. What is it going to take? This is what we're going to offer, yada, yada, yada. Do you fit? If that guy still chooses to go somewhere else, you can't blame Rand Carthon. What if the market says for this guy, you are to make, the market says, $15 million per. And Rand say, okay, we're going to give you 15 and a half, six. And this guy said, no, we want 20. What do you expect him to do? Pay the 20?
No.
No, you don't expect him to 20. It's like, thank you. We would love to have you on our team, but see you later. We'll play against you. Hope you well, unless you're playing against us. It's not just we're making this thing one-sided. It's not. The players got to want to come here, too.
Of course.
And that's the way I see it.
And players do follow the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to have to overpay for two reasons. This is free agency. Mm-hmm. You have to overpay for free agents. Unfortunately, that's just the reality. And two, you have to overpay because you're not a contender. But the Titans have money. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not asking for Rand Carthon to go out and just sign absurd and ridiculous contracts. I'm not asking for that just to make headlines and just to make fans happy. That's not what I'm asking for. Like, there were reports that the Titans were interested in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He ultimately went to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Like, I don't want to
Justin Simmons is still out there.
And I'm not asking to overpay for a safety that's been hurt the last 2 to 3 seasons. Like, I'm good with that. But when you find a good player that can help your team at a position of need, like how the Titans approach with Lloyd Cushenberry, I think that's how the Titans are going to have to be. They're going to have to be aggressive, specifically at positions of need. And look, I understand there is time left. But for right now, the way that I look at it, the Titans in free agency so far have been underwhelming. Mm-hmm. Now look, other moves can happen. There could be moves in the works that come out.
But didn't they address needs? Didn't they address needs, the Tennessee Titans? Didn't they go out and they address needs across the board? Now,
across the board, no.
How you look at those needs, and we can discuss this more after the break, but how do you look at those needs? Maybe a little bit different than maybe I do as far as how you rank them. But I think they did address some of the needs that they have this upcoming season.
They filled center. Mm-hmm. Running back, one of the corner positions. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about the Kenneth Murray signing, but yeah, linebacker's okay. A position of need. Always injured guard, I don't think was necessarily a position of need.
But that's more depth.
What it's they have done depth. So far has addressed positions of need.
Exactly.
So but what? You still have a lot more left.
But free agency hasn't even started yet. The actual free agency haven't even started yet. That's the way I see it. Now,
but a lot of other teams in the league have made a lot of other moves. And I know you say you cannot compare to other teams, but I look at it and say, well, other teams have made bigger mm-hmm. moves. Other teams have made more moves. Where are you? You still have a lot more needs to address. But we'll continue the conversation mm-hmm. coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Four moves that the Titans have been, whose name has been kind of, floating around some of these potential players. We'll get into that coming up next. What those additions would mean for the Titans in free agency. We'll get into that coming up next. Jonathan Hutton in 30 minutes. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios. Keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round, talking Titans in free agency. Jonathan Hutton will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get Hutton's reaction to some of the Titans moves that they have made so far. Titans signed Sadiq Charles last night. 1-year deal, $2.5 million, nothing groundbreaking. He's been, in and out of the lineup in Washington. He's been dealing with injuries. He's been a left guard for the Commanders. Titans bring in Sadiq Charles in free agency to go along with Kenneth Murray, linebacker from the Chargers, Chidobe Awuzie at corner, center Lloyd Cushenberry, and running back Tony Pollard so far in free agency. But D-Maze, there's been some rumors. Mm-hmm. The rumor mill has been rumor milling. There has been four players potentially slated to the Tennessee Titans. First and foremost, this coming in from Diana Russini last night. The Titans are targeting safety Justin Simmons, most recently with the Denver Broncos. I would love that.
Yes.
Four-time All-Pro. I know he's on the older side. I think he's, 30, 31?
Yeah, but as long as he hadn't had any major injuries, I don't think he has, or maybe he has.
I don't think he has. He missed maybe a couple of games last season. Okay. He played 15.
Okay,
played 15 games last season, 12 the year before, 17 the year before. So he's
fairly durable. Fairly. I wonder what the injuries were. As long as they were not chronic hamstring deals, then I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's a four-time All-Pro. Mm-hmm. He's a really good player, and safety is a position of need that the Titans haven't addressed yet. I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a name that the Titans were in on. He's going back to the Eagles. I think the Titans. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say, dodged a bullet there, but they dodged an injury concern in C.J. Gardner-Johnson going back to Philadelphia. Your thoughts on Justin Simmons? I'm for it.
Yeah, I think it would be a good addition. They need safety help, with losing Byard last year, during the season because of a trade. They need a veteran, but a veteran that still has some years left in him, good years left in him, a veteran that can be the quarterback of that back end. And I wouldn't be opposed to, them getting Justin Simmons. They need a guy like him on their defense. Again, a veteran guy, a really good player. How much he still has left, yet to be determined. But I'm sure, barring injury, he's still at least two really good years left in him. In the way that the Titans, we assume the Titans are going to play defense, and we're assuming that based upon what we saw in Baltimore, then, he may – this may be a really good spot for him. He may improve even more or have a better season than he had last season, now here or potentially being here with the Tennessee Titans. So I would love that move if indeed they were able to sign him because they need another safety. I don't think you can go, the rookie route with a safety. They need a veteran safety. So if they can get him, that'd be a plus.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Nick Frazier actually sent us this comp. Justin Simmons to Kevin Byard, really, for the most part, their stats are pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are a couple statistical categories that Kevin Byard or Justin Simmons has an overwhelming advantage of, it kind of equals out in other statistical categories. For example, I mean, like 30 interceptions for Justin Simmons in his career, 28 for Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. Kevin Byard played 130 games, Justin Simmons 118. 4.5 sacks for Justin Simmons, 4 for Kevin Byard. Very comparable stats, 4-time All-Pro for Justin Simmons, twice for Kevin Byard, 2 Pro Bowls for Justin Simmons, 2 for Kevin Byard. I know that Kevin Byard toured, you know, Kevin Byard in Philadelphia was a lot less than they wanted mm-hmm. him to be in Philadelphia, but overall fairly comparable to Kevin Byard. You get him a year or two younger. I'm for Justin Simmons. It's a position of need. I don't think you sign him to a 5-year deal or anything crazy like that, but that fills a position of need and a veteran that is good at the position.
Yeah. You got to have good players, especially one that could the one that could be an instant starter for you. So if they're able to land Justin Simmons, I think you just add it to Cushenberry and the cornerback out of Cincinnati. And the linebacker and a guard, we have to see. We got to see with that one.
With whether, Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, Kenneth Murray and then the guard, which I assume the guard is more so for depth, but then again, I could be totally wrong on that one.
With a 1-year deal worth $2.5 million, I can't imagine that they have any long-term vision for Sadiq Charles. I'm underwhelmed with the Kenneth Murray signing, mm-hmm. but it was announced that, or at least reported, that Jerome Baker is visiting with the Titans, most recently with Miami, a linebacker. He's a 67 grade on PFF, played 13 games last season, 17 games the year before. Last year, he dealt with a sprained MCL and a dislocated wrist. Neither of those two injuries stand out to me as being, like, overly concerning.
Not in the least. I think those two injuries are injuries that he's well over now.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be an issue moving forward, but, you know, he did miss the games. He did have the injury, so you got to mark that. But they're not significant injuries.
Yeah, no, it doesn't bother me. I would love Jerome Baker.
Absolutely.
That linebacker is absolutely a position.
Well, they need that. They need.
And I don't think Kenneth Murray takes care of all of it.
No, if they can add another backer, you know, because this is where this team hasn't gotten better or sustained, you know, play is at that linebacker position, mm-hmm. inside linebacker position. I thought it was a mistake that they let Long Jr. go. But under the old regime, he was a chronic, you know, habitual hamstring guy or just getting injured. Didn't miss no games in Miami, I don't think. So they've been trying to regroup. They didn't sign back Aziz. Arden Key really didn't work out. So they had to fill that
void. Rashawn Evans was a swing and a miss. Monty Rice, a swing and a miss.
I like the young kid they have now. Otis Reese. I like the kid now. He does what you want. He flies around. He's a sideline to sideline guy. He showed in the bit of time that he got this year that he's earned potential more playing time this upcoming season. Now, the coaching staff has changed. Defensive coordinator has changed. But if they go back to that tape, they'll see, you know, him flying around to the ball, him hustling. So don't count him out just because he's not a marquee name. This is how some of these guys start out. Smart start out with no name at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to get a little bit of playing time and they start to excel, but people still don't pay attention to them. And then once they earn that right to be a starter, and all of a sudden they become really good players in this league. So don't count him out. But they do need to address the inside backer position with guys that have played in this league.
If he turns into something great, if he does, you know, but there is a high likelihood that he doesn't. You're going to have to address it around him. And if he ascends, then great. This is an interesting one. As a reporter, maybe it came out early this morning, I believe, that Chase Young is having a meeting with the Titans. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? Chase Young is an interesting one.
He is a fascinating case study,
it's just, it's like, which Chase Young are you wanting or are you looking at? Because people can say, well, you look at the Chase Young in Washington, there are a few times where he was injured a few times, and he never reached that potential because he was the second pick in the draft, right?
Second pick in the 2020 draft.
Second pick overall.
And think about the players in the 2020 draft. Mm-hmm. It was loaded. Tua, Justin Herbert, Justin Jefferson.
Yes. That was a fairly good draft. But then you look at him and what he has done. I mean, he was 3 years in Washington. The bad part about it is this first year was the year that he played the most. Played 15 games, started 15 games. After that, he missed a lot of games due to injury. Now, that would be my concern. Now, he did show flashes when he went to San Fran now. He showed flashes. He ended up playing 16 games altogether last year before he got traded, but he only started six. But he showed that he can get to the pass rusher now. Now, whether that motor is still there, I don't know. But the guy has ability. He showed it his first year in Washington. Then he had two off years because, frankly, he didn't play. He was injured. And then he goes, they trade him to San Fran, mm-hmm. and it seems like he gets a new life. And you see more of the player that you saw his first year in Washington. So my thing is, which player are you getting if you do go out and get him? Are you getting a guy that only played 12 games in 2 years, 22 and 23? Or are you getting a guy that ultimately end up going to San Fran and doing really well? He played well in the Super Bowl.
He had a good Super Bowl. He had exactly, a not so great divisional round game.
I think if you get a guy like this, it's a one-year deal. It is a complete one-year deal.
Yeah.
And it's a earn-it deal. Like, you do well, you're going to get paid. If you don't do well, you may not be with another team. Or if you are, you're going to be making meet league minimum, and you're going to be a backup. So which one do you want? We may get, if indeed they go get Chase Young, because I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
But if they do go get Chase Young, he has to understand, like, dude, this is your earning year. So we may end up getting the best Chase Young thus far.
I'm not opposed to it at all. Mm-hmm. I can fall in love with the potential of Chase Young because it's there.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen it. At Ohio State, he was worthy of the second overall pick. We've seen flashes of it in the NFL, and it's not been consistent enough. Mm-hmm. So I can fall in love with the potential, but I can't pay potential. I would be willing to bring in Chase Young if you don't pay him a lot, and it's not a long-term commitment. And it is, like you said, very much so a prove-it deal. And if you come in here and prove it, then we'll pay it for it. You know, but I can't pay you to come in here and just hope that you're going to turn into what you were in college now that we're 4 years removed from that.
No, you're right. I think it would, if indeed they do sign Chase Young, it would be an incentive deal. Your base salary probably for him would be six and a half, somewhere around there.
If that even,
if that. But then it has escalators that he can earn up to. A certain amount. So that could be a good deal for him. And you're in a position where you come in and you're a starter. You know, you come in as a starter. So to me, it's an interesting one, but I wouldn't be mad or opposed to the Titans if they did sign him.
Depends on the money.
Exactly.
But I'm with you there. But Jerome Baker.
Yeah.
And I can fall in love with that.
Yeah.
And that's not just potential.
Can. Yes.
All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your thoughts on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. May, say tune in to 1025-1063 The Game for updates of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament this week, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Toyota, and Guinness. Caroline, Willie, D. May, 1025-1063 The Game, the Game Nashville app. A little AFC South news. The Texans have traded Malik Collins to the San Francisco 49ers, reportedly for a seventh-round pick, which feels incredibly low. But that could mean that the Texans could be in on some of these defensive tackles that are now on the market, potentially an Eric Armstead or who's another defensive tackle on the market, Sheldon Rankins. Mm-hmm. So interesting to watch. Interesting to watch the Houston Texans in the defensive tackle market. But we are talking Titans in free agency, and we'll get right into your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, D-Mace, so you're good with not signing a lot of guys because it's about building up the culture for the long term, but you'd be fine with signing Chase Young.
Chase Young would come at a low cost. If you follow Chase Young, and see, and this is why, you know, just stick with the conversation as we're talking. Because we said with Chase Young, it's a low risk, high reward. And this is a guy that has dealt with injury, an ACL. He had another injury in there. So that second and third year for him was a wash, really. He played, but everybody knows after an ACL, it's going to take you a year, especially at that position. We saw it firsthand here with Harold Landry. Harold Landry started to really come back into form. He missed a whole year. Then he started to come back in form in the middle of the season. Then we started to see more of the Harold Landry that we were used to. And Chase Young is the same. He had a good first year. I think he ended up winning Defensive Player of the Year for the rookies, Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. That second year, he gets hurt. The third year, he's working back from that. The last year, they end up trading him to San Fran. He ended up having 7.5 sacks. He had 7.5 sacks his first year. You got to throw away those two middle years because he was getting over injury. I think now, just look at it. Listen to it. Now you would be getting a Chase Young that's closer to what he was his rookie year. Why? Because he's now 2 years removed from that ACL injury. He looked different than he did in prior years. This year he looked different. So what you're banking on as a Tennessee Titans is this is a prove it year for you, Chase Young. Nobody out there is going to give you the long-term deal you want. And rightfully so, because you've been injured and you haven't earned that. So now you get an opportunity. We pay you $6.5-7 million with some escalators, possibly up to $10 million, to earn the right to then go to free agency. It will only be a one-year deal, so it's a high, low risk, high reward type of deal. You do that with certain players, and I think Chase Young is one of those players that you do it with, because I think whoever gets him, if the Titans don't get him, whoever gets him, they're going to get the Chase Young closer to his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, maybe even better, because now he has some years up under his belt. You're going to get the version of him that's much better than what he was his rookie year.
I mean, anyone that would sign him would hope.
That's what your hope, best case scenario.
Yeah.
Like, worst case scenario, hey, it doesn't work out. You didn't spend a lot of money on him. Now you can let him walk after a year.
As long as you keep it low risk.
Exactly. It can't be like we discussed off air. It can't be like, we want a 3-year deal, 15 per. No.
Yeah, no.
Get out of here.
No, absolutely you hadn't earned not. That. Absolutely not. Mm. It would absolutely be a prove-it deal, and a deal that's not going to, you know, completely handicap you into the Chase Young sweepstakes for the next, you know, few years.
Exactly.
Just because you thought that you could get something out of him that nobody else could. Like, maybe you can.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't pay for potential.
No.
But I would be interested in a low-risk deal, a one-year, not a ton of money for a Chase Young, just for the potential. And if he doesn't realize it, then you move on. And if he does, then great.
That's what they did a few years ago with DeNico Autry. They signed him, to a 2-year deal, 2-3-year deal? Low risk. It worked out for them.
Yeah.
It worked out tremendously for them. They chose not to sign him back. I wish they had signed him back.
But I guess he
was at that age point where they figured they needed to get a little bit younger at that position. But I wish they would have signed DeNico Autry back here.
Another texter texts in about free agency. Says, would you let your kid spend all of his birthday money on candy from the first gas station that you stop at just because they want candy and the other kids are doing it? First and foremost, candy is a treat. Having players in the National Football League and an actual roster, that's not a treat. That's a necessity in a multi-multi-billion-dollar business. So don't act like Sadiq Charles, a backup guard in Washington, is like getting Twizzlers from the gas station. No, 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 no. These are necessities. These are important things. Would you spend your money on groceries because you need to eat? Yes. Yes, and that is what we're talking about in free agency. But the texter continues to say, absolutely not, you wouldn't do that. There's too many holes to just spend all of your money in free agency. Where else are you going to spend it? Where else do you spend your money? You only have five draft picks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to break the bank in the draft. There's nowhere else to spend money but in free agency. And no, you don't have to do it on players that are injured or not good enough or doesn't fit your system. Of course not. You're not going to spend dumb. You're going to spend smart, but you're going to have to spend because you need players. All right, we'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.